Hi, my name is Madge. I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful to God's grace I'm sober today. I want to share my experience, strength, and hope. And hope that, somebody will be able to relate to it. I was brought up in a house that was affected by alcoholism, and everybody in the house that lived there was affected by it, which is what happens always when people live with a drunk. I have three brothers, and they're all in this program, and thank God. And my father was the one that had problems with drinking, and my mother came from a mindset that, you stay in whatever you're committed to. You don't have any other choice. And so she would have really benefited from using the other 12-step program, Al-Anon, that we have, and it would have made her life a lot easier. I can remember as a little kid, knowing what was going on as far as my father's drinking was concerned to a certain extent. And then I can remember being in bed, and it would be late at night, and I knew that my father wasn't home at supper time, and if he wasn't, that there was going to be trouble later on. And then I would hear fighting going on from my bedroom and when he did arrive, and thinking to myself that maybe if I was a better kid, this wouldn't be going on, because even at that point in time in my life, it was all about me. And, I really believed that I had a tendency towards alcoholism long before I ever picked up a drink. And I think that was reinforced by the behavior that was going on in the house. excuse me. Let me see now. I just coughed and I messed myself up. I really didn't care for the behavior of my father. Thought that it was, very troublesome to the family, and I had made up my mind that when I grew up, I would not, definitely not marry anybody that had a problem with drinking. And we went out when I was older. We went out, and I drank, and I was able to drink a lot, and and still function. And we hung around with a certain crowd, and everybody that was in the crowd drank, and. And you meet other people that, think the same way you do, because that's who you hang around with. And I met my first husband, and he drank. And, that was a marriage that I stayed in for, 10 years. And I had six children. And eventually we got divorced, and I was the one that initiated that. Neither one of us were mature enough to make a commitment for a lifetime marriage. We just weren't mature enough to do so. So, it should have never happened in the first place. But I don't say that in the sense of, my children. I'm glad for all of my children, and glad that I had every single one of them, and they've been a joy to me my whole life. I didn't drink to an excess when I was in that first marriage because I had the children to take care of, and I was pregnant a lot of the time that I was in my 20s. So after I had my fifth child, actually, I went out to work, and I found out that other people didn't live the same way that I did, and that I didn't have to live that kind of a life if I... this is gradually, if I chose not to. So eventually, like I said, my husband and I got divorced, and I was the one that initiated the divorce, and I was free. I was able to do whatever I wanted to do. I was not under the control of my mother or my father, and I was married. I had six children. I was, as I said before, functioning drunk. I could function very well, what I thought was very well. If you had asked me at that time how, what the most important thing was to me in my life, I would have said my children. And, you know, gradually drink became more important to me than it was when I first started to drink. And I drank more, and eventually it, you know, it just became more of a habit than anything else. But I drank every time, you know, that I after work. We used to go out to work, and I don't know, you know, when I became a daily drinker, I just know that I did. And I don't know when I started abusing alcohol and using it for the wrong reasons. I just know that I did. I met my second husband, and you know, we got married. He drank and I drank, but he never drank in the same way that I did. A couple of times he mentioned to me that he was not happy with the amount of alcohol that I was drinking, and my attitude was, well, this is what I did when I met you, and if, you know, I just defended my right to drink, just like we all do, until, you know, I was ready to surrender to the fact that I was an alcoholic. I knew that my brothers were all in this program, and yet I still had myself totally convinced that I was in control, when in all reality I was an out of control person at the time. I used to take people to detox, and because I had lots of friends that drank, and that was where my line was. I used to think that if I didn't have to go to detox, I was in control of what was going on in my life, and which is something I believe that social drinkers don't ever think about. So then I just went along and kept drinking, and you know, went to different package stores, did the usual stuff that I hear when I go to meetings, and you know, thought that I had everybody fooled into, you know, I just went to different package stores because I didn't want them to know how much I was drinking. Not that, what do they care how much I'm drinking, but you know, it was, I knew that I was an alcoholic long before I ever even sought treatment. I just thought that I had a slight case of the disease, alcoholism, and that I was going to be the only person in captivity that would, you know, beat it. But obviously I didn't beat it, it beat me. And I can't remember exactly where my mindset was at the time, but I can remember going to my husband and saying to him, I have to go and I have to go somewhere because I just can't control what's going on in my life. And this was my second husband, who was a wonderful, wonderful man, and he was wonderful to my children and wonderful to me. And I made him put up with a lot of behavior that was not, you know, not very pleasant. Finally, by God's grace, I was able to go to him and say, I want to go into a hospital. I want to go somewhere because I can't control this anymore. And, you know, I had been isolating, and just whatever I bought that day at the package store is what I drank. You know, I was, you know, counting my bottles and, you know, getting rid of bottles. This is all like, you know, behavior of typical alcoholic. And I can remember having the shakes in the morning, and because I had eventually become a daily drinker, and I picked up the glass that I put in the bedstead beside me at night, and continued on my way the next morning when I got up, because I drank continuously the whole time that I was awake. I had a glass of vodka with very little water in it, and this is how I went through my day. I drove that way. I drove with my children in the car. I went to work that way. I had gotten a promotion. I was made a manager of a company. And, you know, like I said, I was able to function, you know, to quite a degree. But anyway, this one day I did say, ask my husband to take me to call the hospital for me. And he did. And I got into my car, and I had a water glass full of vodka, and I went on my way to treatment. And I thought it was the worst day of my life, and it was the best day. And this is what God does with us. He takes the worst thing in your life, turns it around, and makes it the best thing. because if I had never become an alcoholic, I would never have known Alcoholics Anonymous, which is what changed my life, saved my life, allowed me to meet myself when I was 46 years old, and allowed me to see the truth of what my life was like and not to live in the lie anymore. I don't believe the lie anymore, and the lie is what the disease of alcohol tells you. It tells you that you're in control when you're way out of control. And as long as you can keep believing that lie, you can stay drunk and eventually you'll die. I've seen lots of people die from this disease, and I didn't think that it would ever happen to me. I also didn't think that I would ever become an alcoholic, but obviously I was wrong. And I know that if I continued to drink the way I was drinking, that I would be dead today. I had a sister-in-law that died very young from this disease, and one of my sons died from the abuse of alcohol, and it just eats up families. So I went into Hampstead Hospital, and it was a 30-day program at the time. This was in 1986, in June 1986, and I went in there, and they put me in a locked ward, and I, you know, was really upset with myself that I had asked to come here when, you know, when I found myself in that situation. But, you know, truthfully, it didn't take me long, by God's grace, to understand that this is exactly where I was supposed to be, and that my life was going to get a lot better if I paid attention and did, you know, what they told me to do in that hospital. So I stayed there for a month, and I can remember coming home for just a visit 2 weeks after I was there, and I was so afraid to go out the door because I knew how many package stores there were between the hospital and my house and the way back again. And I just, you know, said my prayers. I found God in the sense that I wasn't telling him what to do. You know, when I was drunk, I was always directing the program and telling him what I needed him to do for me today. Today, I turn my life and my will over to God, as the third step says, and I leave it in his hands. And sometimes that isn't a very easy thing to do, but I do it anyway. My dear husband died 10 years ago, and my son died 10 years ago. And like I said, he did not have a problem with alcohol. I was, during that time, they died within eight weeks of each other. And I was able to go through that because I turned it over to God, and I didn't need to take a pill. I didn't need to do anything. And I never even thought for 1 minute that a drink could solve any of that problem. It was something that I had to live through and go through. And at the time, I was either 17 or 18 years sober. I go to AA. I still go to AA. I love AA. You know, it teaches me that life can get better on a daily basis. It keeps me in tune with my God. I go down on my knees every morning, say my prayers, ask God to help me through the day, and ask him to give me, as it says in the Serenity Prayer, the wisdom to know the difference of what I can control and what I can't control. If somebody asks me to do something, I do it in program. If they ask me to speak, I speak. If they ask me to chair a meeting, I chair a meeting, because I know that this is where recovery is. Recovery is in action. Recovery is in giving back. Recovery is in thinking about somebody else before me. Recovery is doing something that goes against my nature, which my nature for many years was very selfish. And I have to, today, put God first, other people second, myself third. And if I do that, my life stays in the right place. There's lots of things in life that happen that, you know, life happens to all of us. And but today, thank God, I don't have to use a bottle to get through it. I still go to 3 or 4 meetings a week. When I first got sober, I went to a meeting every single day. Sometimes I went twice a day. I have maybe 5 people that I sponsor. Some of them have longer sobriety than I do. This is a wonderful program. It's a wonderful life. I have a wonderful relationship with my children. They trust me with their children. They trust me. You know, when I say that I'm going to do something, I will be there always for them. You know, I just have gone through several AWOLs, and I've also gone through the steps ever since I got sober, and every time I go through them, I see something different in there because I'm changing all the time. And I hope today that I'm changing in the right direction. And that's all. Thanks for listening. God bless.